You know, we have been in James, but I knew that we were not going to have much time right here. And so I am not going to continue on in James because I'm just going to speak a few words that are important words that I think we asked the question in there. If you had something that you would tell these graduating seniors, what would you tell them? Actually, this is kind of what I would tell anyone. But it's especially important as you're moving from one phase into another where the world is really opening up for you and you're going to have lots of choices. You're going to have choices in your life that you didn't expect to have. And those of us who are sitting there who've already been through it, how many of you would admit that we probably took the wrong turn a couple of times? And it would have been nice if we would have known, you know, how do I anchor my life so that I don't get deceived by the world and follow the crowd and end up looking back and thinking, man, my life could have been more if I would not have. One of the guys was talking from the band back there, and he was talking about how God had showed him things and had continually helped him to get back on the right path. And it's his relationship with God that enabled him to do that. A lot of times when you move out of a situation like this and get into the world, there's some pretty smart fellas out there, right? And all of them don't have a good moral compass of serving Christ. As a matter of fact, some of our kids are going into a college where they are walking into probably the most dangerous place in the world today. And that's to be in a college campus surrounded by people who do not like God. And they're pretty smart. And they can really give you all kinds of reasons to try to undermine your faith. And you're in a situation in which following that line is where the norm is. Now, we've got a couple going to colleges that's not the overriding place. But a lot of them in our country today, it's a place where thinking can really get flipped around and faith can be destroyed if you don't really have a strong faith. And I'm so grateful for Laura and for Jonathan and for all the workers that are there, because what they try to do in the youth is they try to instill in them this desire to have a relationship with God, where God is not something that they know about or a bunch of facts that we all accept while we're in church, but they actually know him. And so, like we were singing, this is who you are. It's not, this is what people say about you, or this is what I read about you. But in my experience, this is who you are to me. You are the way, you're the one who parts the Red Sea, and it doesn't matter what it looks like. You're the one who's gonna make a way for me. You can do miracles. You can take what looks like it will be a disaster, and you can turn it into good. You're the one who gives me understanding and light. You're the one that I count on because your promises always stand true. And your faith is in a personal relationship with God. It's not in a bunch of things that we all profess to believe about God. And developing that is something that is not always done in Christian communities, but it's what we emphasize here. I think Jonathan just gave them the best gift, as he said, that he could ever give them. Because right there in their hands, they have God's personal message to them. It's God speaking. As a matter of fact, that's what the Bible tells us is the purpose of it. It says all scripture is inspired or exhaled by God. It's God breathing out life into you. And it's supernatural. Hebrews tells us that the word of God is alive and it's powerful. Because it opens our eyes to see spiritual things that with the natural mind are dead to us. God becomes alive and we are able to see who he is. And it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. And all of us know the power of peer pressure, and we know the power of what everyone else is doing. And especially when it looks like it's working out so well for everyone else. But God tells us what our values and priorities need to be because we see what his are. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. And I don't know about you, but I wish when I got out of high school, I understood things that I didn't understand until I got out of college. And I wish I would have understood things when I got out of college that I started to understand when I was 30 years old. I wish that I understood things when I was 30 years old that I understood when I was 50. And I learned most of them by falling flat on my face, because I had some ideas that the world pumps into us, that everyone's doing it, everyone thinks it's right. And I thought, I just didn't think that I needed to stop and look deeply into what God was saying in what was happening in my life at that time. And God's word wants to help us to not have to learn everything the hard way, because there are great costs with learning things the hard way. When we choose not to do what God tells us to do, there will be consequences that are unintended and unforeseen that show up later on in life where we realize, man, what was I thinking? The problem is the majority of people who are so-called Christians, because the Christian church in America, I don't know if you realize it, but it is shrinking, but still 60% of the people in the United States claim to be church members and claim to be Christians. And yet very few of them really read the Word of God. And those that do, a lot of them read the Word of God like a textbook or as a religious duty to check things off. But if you stop and think about what the Word of God is, this is what God has preserved in black and white on a piece of paper for you to read, so that you're not confused with all the feelings that you have and all the information and pressure that comes around. You can see exactly what God says, and His Holy Spirit will open your eyes to understand it if you seek for Him with all your heart. But that's the part of it. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, I'm pretty open with people, but there's some things I'm not open with people unless I know that they really care about me and love me. And I'm not really open with people that I have a feeling they might use against me. Well, I'm created in God's image, and God is the same way. And God looks at our hearts and He knows our hearts. He knows who wants to know Him. He wants to know who wants to please Him. He wants to know who desperately wants an intimate relationship with God because they love Him, they want to learn how to love Him more, and He knows who are religious. And so taking that Bible and searching for God builds the foundation of everything in life, because you're probably going to run into things. I don't care if you're my age, 66, almost 66. I run into things that I got to stop. I don't know what the answer to it is. And I've got to stop. But I do know who God is. And I do want to be loyal to Him. And that enables me to have that connection, that if I'm not sure if something is going to dishonor God or is something that's going to hurt God or hurt that, I've got that stop in there that sometimes I'm glad I had it in there, because I have a personal relationship with God. We want God to speak to us. But in majority, as far as you're talking about just the Christian community, the majority of the Christian community, they don't stop and slowly and carefully listen to what God has to say. And they don't read His words that way. If they read His words, a lot of them, I don't get anything out of it. And so they move on. And they're looking for sometimes the wrong thing. They're looking to earn God's approval because they did religious things. Or they're looking for principles so their life is better, not so Christ is exalted. But we read the Bible to know who God is. We want to understand Him, and we want to know Him and understand what He wants for us. John 16, 12 through 13 says this: "There is so much more I want to tell you." That's what Jesus says. "There's so much more I want to tell you. I want you to know," everyone in this room, that's where we fall. Doesn't matter how much you know and understand about God, we don't know a fraction of what God would like to share with us. And God wants to tell us more. He wants us to understand more. He wants to give us what we need to know before we get in the next situation, if we will listen, if we're open and we're seeking. Buddy says, you can't bear it right now. It's interesting how many people want to study the Bible or go through a course or a discipleship course so that now I've got it all together. You're never going to have it all together. This world is so big that if you don't have your hand in God's hand and he's not leading you with that flashlight of his word, illuminating the next step you need to take, you are going to be in trouble because we cannot bear everything God wants to tell us. We can't handle it. But God wants to give it to us as we need it. And he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, which he's already come, if you are a true believer, the Spirit of God lives in your heart. And he will guide you into all truth. In other words, he will open our minds to be able to understand who God is and how he's working in our lives at that moment. You will understand he can make the way. God wants us to live our lives without worry, without fear, in boldness, in peace, and in joy. That is what God promises every single believer. And if you're not experiencing that, you have some spiritual growth to go, because that is the promise that Christ gave for us. And we want to strive towards it because the only time we have it is when we're close to him. Because the world's exactly the opposite. And it's going to throw a lot of monkey wrenches in a lot of things we can't handle in front of our feet. And if we know who God is and we're close to God, then we trust him because of who he is. So I say to you, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. You know, we had one of our students who asked the question, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? This is what it means to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, means first off, we recognize that we have a human nature that is not wanting what God does. The next verse in Galatians 5:17 says this, for the sinful nature, that's the human nature, desires what is contrary to the Spirit. We want the things of this world. God wants our hearts to be full of eternity. As a matter of fact, at times, God wants us to be willing to give up the things of this world to honor him and to be able to let people understand and see his greatness through our sacrifice. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, our comfort, not God's exaltation. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the selfish, sinful, or to the sinful nature, which is selfish. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. You do God's will. You know, one of many people in here's favorite verses is lean not on your own understanding. When we lean on our own understanding, the one thing that we can be guaranteed of this is we won't be doing what God's will is. Because what we want and how we think is, how do I make things work out for my benefit, for my family's benefit? How do I have a comfortable life? How do I make it in this world? Hebrews 2:1 says this, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. You know, if you're not listening to God, if you're not seeking him, and that awareness of who he is starts to drift away, problems of the world, temptations of the world, they all get big real fast. And if you've lost touch of who God is and where he is, we can all make some very poor choices. Most of us have done it. So it's important, and what God's word is telling us is this, you need a conversation with me. You need to be in contact and conversation with me. Don't let our relationship drift away because you're not openly, honestly, humbly opening up my word and seeking for my Holy Spirit to reveal to you who I am in it and what I'm doing in your life at this moment. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, or some translations say, let us walk in the Spirit. And we do that by following the revelation that God gives each one of us through his word. It's the only thing that we can count on. I've had some counsel that made really good sense from some well-meaning Christian people, but it just seemed to conflict with what God was saying. And it doesn't mean they're bad people. It just means they're not quite as smart as God. And that's the advice that I want. That's the leadership that I want in life. I love this quote from Our Daily Bread. Jill and John kind of put them out there so you can get them if you like those devotionals. But this one says, as we listen to God, we should answer. And I think a lot of times we pray and we read the Bible not understanding what God wants. God wants a response from us. When we listen to God, when we read the Word, realizing that this is a conversation with somebody who's the King of the universe, who understands a lot more than I do, and so he's speaking, but he loves me, and there's a response that comes back, and we call that prayer. And the strongest prayers that we have are the response to God's Word that bring ourselves in line with what God wants to do. This is prayer, our response to the revelation and unfolding of God's heart. As we read the Bible, do we really see that God's the waymaker for us or just for Moses? Do we really see that he's the miracle worker or just that Jesus could do miracles when he was on earth, but he's not here now? Does God still work that way for us? Does he still love us? Does he still open our eyes to let us understand things that are difficult to understand? Does he fulfill his promises for us? As we listen to God, we should answer. This is worship, which literally means to bow down. When I read the Bible because I am bowing down before the God who created me, the God of the universe, and I want to know his thoughts and I want to conform myself to his will, he will speak to us. And he will reveal himself to us. Prayer, Our Daily Bread says, is worship. Our praying should be full of adoration, affection, and fondness for God, that he is who he is. I love that part. When we search for him, even when we come in here and we listen to those songs and we sing those songs and we pray during those songs and the sermon, it's all constructed to give us an opportunity to be able to sit before and meditate on who God is, and to see him more clearly than we did before. That he created us in order to have someone on whom he could shower his love. I know a lot of people that don't think God really loves them, especially when they get in tough circumstances. God created us because he wants to demonstrate his love through us and in us. That he stretched out his arms on the cross, and that he intends in the fullest sense to make whole men and women out of us. God wants to heal our hearts, heal our thinking, heal our emotions. He wants us to be his joyful, committed, devoted children. I love this verse that I'm going to end with here. It's Hebrews 10:22. It says, let us go right into the presence of God. You realize this is the invitation that Christ bought for us. When he died on the cross, the veil that kept us out and away from the presence of God, that only the high priest could sneak in once a year with bells tied to his robe so in case he died, you could pull him out. That was ripped open from top to bottom. And the invitation is, God says, come into my presence. That's the invitation that we have. But it takes something to get there. It takes a desire to climb those steps, to get up there, to come into the presence of God with sincere hearts. And that's another part. Nobody comes into God's presence with a half-hearted devotion to him. Nobody comes into God's presence and God reveals his truth to them if they are not committed to obey what they learn. And so we come in with sincere hearts, or with pure hearts, or with hearts of integrity in which we're not divided. We're not going the world's way. We're not going where our friends want. We're going to do what God wants. If he speaks to us, we're going to do that. Fully trusting in him. And the more we know and understand who God is, the easier it is to trust. Because we see how wonderful he is. And as we obey his word, he demonstrates that in our lives by making those ways, by doing those little miracles, by giving us understanding and light. And as we follow him, we see every promise he gives us is fulfilled. Here's the next step that goes in that process. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. You know what is so difficult for Christian people is that we all are not able to understand what God wants, and 1 John tells us that we all have sin, and if we say we don't have sin, we make God a what? That's right. So all of us, no matter how much we are devoted, don't understand everything God wants, and all of us do things that God didn't want. And if we're close to God, and we have that relationship with him where he speaks to us and we speak to him, and we're in this continual relationship with him where we're seeking, God, what do you want me to do? And then we are doing it. I will do that. If we're in that type of situation, we don't have any problem feeling like God forgives us and that God is growing us, that God is with us and he wants us. I know lots of people who are Christians who can really get knocked down when they fall or make a mistake, instead of realizing that God is growing us, he is with us. And we continually, when we come before God and read his word, are going to have pointed out things in our life that are not Christ-like attitudes, that are things that need to be cleansed out of our life for God to use us in a greater way, that allow us to come closer to God, people we need to forgive, people we need to reach out to, that we withheld that because of something that happened, all kinds of things. But God continually, as we obey him, lets us know that that lifestyle of repentance and drawing closer to him, it's not negative, it's positive. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. This is an interesting thing. We go into God's presence because our bodies have been washed with pure water. And the water in the Bible is used as a symbol of God's word and God's cleansing word. In other words, we're listening to him, which is repeated over and over and over in the Bible. God speaks, and he's always speaking. The problem is we're not always listening. Sometimes we have other things that are more important. And the one thing that I would say to everyone in this room, but especially people who are moving out of a place where your world is fixing to change completely. Some of you will be in a place where you have no one looking over what you do. There won't be the restraints of parents there anymore. You're going to be an adult in the world. And if you are not interacting in a responsive conversation with God by reading his word, seeking to understand what he means, letting him reveal himself and his ways to you, and then showing your love and faith to him by doing what you have been revealed to do in your life and living how you want to, then you're not going to have that life that's washed with the water. You've got the water sitting on the bedstand next to you. It's kind of like if I have a sink and I've gone out and I've worked all day with Jonathan on a car and I got grease all over, and I walk by and I take a good long look at the soap and the water and the sink, and then I go to bed. Or I put a little water on there and just do a quick little rub and realize, I didn't get it off, but I just go on to bed. We want to be cleansed by the washing of the water of the word. So our response to God, it should be the same thing that we experience here, because God wants us to have this lifestyle of when we come into his presence. And when you come in here, all we're doing is we're having like a special, intensive time of worship and time of listening to God. And our response should be that our hearts are open. I was talking to one of our young adults sometime this week, and I asked him, I said, well, what is the service like to you? What's happening in your life? You know, what's it like when the response comes? Your mind just go, what's happening in there? And he says, well, when I come in, he says that, you know, I focus my mind on what God is doing, and those songs kind of lift me up and help me get into that atmosphere of just realizing how great God is and how thankful I am for what he's done. And then when it comes time for the sermon, I'm listening to see what God would say. And when it comes time for the response time, then that's a time that I'm just taking everything that's been going on in my life that he is speaking to, I'm just responding to God and just trying to tell him what my actions of response are going to be. How am I going to respond to what he's told me? That's exactly what God wants us to be able to do every day. Now, some of us, we go to work or we go to school and we got so much going on that we seem like we don't have quite as much, you know, taking an hour and 15 minutes here to do that, it's like I don't ever have that much time during the week. And so what happens is I feel like I'm not in God's presence, I kind of drift away, and that's why God has created that Sabbath day and made it holy, because he knows we need it. We need a time to refresh and really focus and get ourselves back in line with what God wants and then fight to keep that time. And that's a discipline. And so I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads right now and in response to whatever God is speaking, and ask nobody to get up and move around, because this is like a sacred time. This is the time in which it's really the most important thing. God has spoken to us and now we're going to respond. And so I'm just gonna let you respond to God however you feel. And if God is pulling on your heart to give your heart to Christ, you can come up here and I'll pray with you. If you feel like you want to pray by yourself, just come to the sides. If you want to pray where you're at, which is what most all of you will do, I'm going to give you just a few minutes to just respond to God about what you feel his Spirit has spoken to you today. Father, I know in this room there are a lot of sensitive hearts to you. And I know that there are a lot of people that are seeking to hear, and they're always open and searching to know you and to see you and to understand you and to learn the things, the lessons in life you want them to learn. To just draw closer to you. And our prayer is, Lord, that spiritual discipline of listening to you, dropping those things that distract us from that, of being able to converse to you heart to heart, because we know you, because we've listened and heard and understand what you've said. That commitment that's growing to be able to please you with every step we take, that we allow that Spirit of God that's inside of us that wants to speak to us and wants to lead us to do that. I pray for each one of these graduates, and really each one of us, that they will continue to grow and they will know that their first priority is knowing you. I pray that none of us in this room will come to that judgment and have Christ proclaim, I don't know you. But that we have taken the time and taken the privilege that you have given us to communicate to you by taking that time to read your word, allow your Spirit to speak, and to respond with all our hearts. Truly worship you in spirit and truth. So, Father, right now we just lay our lives down before you, and we know we're not what we should be, but we know you're leading us and molding us to become what you created us to be. And so we want to follow, we don't want to fight, but we want to grow. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for the peace. We thank you for the joy. We thank you for the light and the understanding you give us to be able to look out at those around us in this room and these great young people who are moving on to the next phase, and just see what you have done and to see the potential of where their lives are going as they follow you. We thank you. We love you. And we praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.